Okay, so we're picking up here from Perek Gimel Halacha Hey in the Rambam. So we're in the middle of this kind of complicated point over here. What we're saying is as follows. We're talking about once there's a person who's a Zav, so they need to have 7 clean days, right? And then they go to the mikvah on that 7th day, and the nighttime they become Tahor when the sun sets, and they have if they had 3 sightings of emissions, they'll have to bring a korban on the 8th day, right? And if they didn't, then they're in the clear already as soon as they get rid of their tuma at sunset. Now, we mentioned that if they have any sighting of any more zav emission, any time during that 7-day period, even after he already went to the mikvah, but it's still daytime, so it's going to cancel out all his 7 days, and he's going to have to start counting 7 new clean days again from the next morning.
Reset.
However, we said, if he sees emissions on that night after the 7th day, right, assuming he has no obligation to bring a korban, right? So those sightings, right, that he sees on the 8th night are totally brand new. They have no relation whatsoever to anything that happened before, because he was totally tahor immediately when sunset hit. However, if he was the type of zav that has to bring a korban because it was a 3-day, three-sighting experience he had, and now he counted his 7 clean days, and it's nighttime, and he sees 3 more sightings, 3 more full sightings that 8th night, which is right that night right after the 7th day, right? He has 3 more sightings at that point. So we say that even though he's totally tahor already
from the previous round,
yeah, he does not need to bring. I mean, he had 3 sightings, so he's going to have to wait now 7 more days until he's going to be kosher enough to bring his next korban. But when he's now finally tahor, he does not need to bring 2 korbans. Even why not? Why not? Because it sounds like he should. He was totally finished with his previous period.
And he just didn't get to give the korban.
Right.
It's day 8.
So the pshat is that he doesn't bring the korban. He has to bring 2 korbans. He only brings the 1 from the first time. Because since he never had an opportunity yet to bring his korban,
right,
he was still linked to that previous tuma. Even though he was tahor from it.
So then why does he have to go an extra 7 days?
Because now he saw 3 sightings on the 8th night.
Sight.
He saw 3 sightings of a zav.
So that sort of makes it sound like it's a separate one.
It's separate to a... We're making a distinction.
Yeah.
It's separate to a certain degree, but it's not fully separate to obligate a second korban. Right? It's not fully to obligate a second korban.
By the way, how does this apply to us today?
If
there's no Beit HaMikdash, all this code gets sort of thrown out?
The halachos of Zav are very inapplicable. However, Zava is extremely applicable, yeah, right? Because we treat every single Nida today like she's a Zava.
Right?
So you need to know all of the chumras, both of what the Torah says about a Nida and all the chumras of what the Torah says about a Zava.
For a man?
For a man,
no,
it's not very practical.
In play?
Nothing is in play at all.
Unfortunately.
That we don't have the opportunity to do all these mitzvos.
But God willing, we will at least have the opportunity.
We won't be dealing with this problem.
There won't be many zavs left.
Okay.
So the moment we're discharged
from our obligation. Okay, very good. Very okay. Let's continue. Let's learn, guys. Okay, halacha hey. So the Rambam says ra re'iya achas b'leil shmini. Okay, so now he sees 1 sighting on the 8th night after he's totally pure. He sees 1 spotting on the 8th night. Ushtei re'iyos b'yom hashmini, and 2 on the day of the 8th, when he could have already brought the korban on the day of the 8th. Right, as soon as it's possible for him to bring the korban on the morning of the 8th. It's not the same. Then he would have had to bring... Let's say he sees all 3 on the morning of the 8th. He sees all 3 sightings in the morning. For sure he has to bring 2 korbans. So now we're getting into a controversial territory. He sees 1 at night, and he sees 2 during the day. And I may have moved the bookmark back. I apologize. We're up to Perek Gimel Halacha Hey.
Yeah, did you mark
the edge? We finished.
Yeah, I did.
I'm good. Yeah, I behaved.
The bookmark in the right spot.
Okay. So he sees 1 at night and 2 during the day. Hare elu mitzdarfin. So now those do combine, because the one he saw at night is nothing. 1 zava's sighting makes you nothing, right? So that one was like nothing. It was just the preparatory one for the next 2. So now that he sees 2 more in the day, he only becomes a zav during the day. He becomes a zav again during the day when he could have brought his korban. I don't care if you didn't bring your korban yet, you could have brought it. Since you could have brought your korban, and now you became a zav after that time where you could have brought the korban, you're now going to have to be bringing two korbans when you ultimately are allowed to.
So they had the opportunity. There was a hizdamnut there.
Exactly. That counts as two or as three? Like, is the night before?
No, the night one counts as one, but it didn't actually make you into Zav. We're counting it as first sighting, which didn't actually make you into a Zav, and that's why it will count still towards this future Korban business. Umevi Korban Sheni is going to have to bring a second Korban, Al Zivus Zu HaAchrona, on this second and final, in this case, emission. Shaharei...
That's my question.
We mentioned this before. Oh, maybe it was that the day you weren't
the
there
time,
for.
Take time, he wasn't here.
Yeah, the time it takes to go to the mikvah and come out and dry yourself.
Yeah.
So even if you had one long zivus that lasted that amount of time, it would count as two. Right, so it's more about times than sightings. It was the day when you guys were. It was Sunday, exactly.
Howard and I were here, and Shelly.
That's right. Shelly, I'm not sure. I think he may have left. I'm not sure. Okay, Shari Re'iyah Rishayna Shel Kol Zav, because the first Re'iyah of every Zav. I mean, why is that first one he saw the night of the eighth not mess everything up? He wasn't going to bring a korban yet. He wasn't allowed to bring a korban that night of the eighth. He says, nah, because the first re'iyah, the first spotting of every zav, keshech vazere hi chashuva, is just considered like regular semen that would make you tamei for just one day.
Well, it's not
called zav.
You only had a one.
It's like a regular carry.
Yeah.
It's like a normal bar carry.
This
is a one-day tumah. The imra acharei shtaim, and therefore if he sees two more sightings on the next day that follows, mitzarefes imahem lekorban, those combine up for the korban. Aval imra shtaim b'leil shmini, but if he saw two on the night of the eighth, which means he in theory would actually be a zav through those two sightings, va'achas b'yom shmini, and only one on the day of the eighth, ein mitzarefos, they don't combine, because at the time he became a zav, he was still linked to the previous zav, ve'eno maybe korban al zivuz. He's not going to bring a second korban on the second zivus. Okay, we finished all this story here about the days of Soser. Are you happy that we finished that? I say, yeah, yesterday was tough. We had a tough day yesterday. Okay, moving on. Halacha Vav.
So he's actually hoping that he has another one. Right? If he only has one,
maybe he's hoping he gets no more tonight or tomorrow. Maybe that would be the best case scenario, right? That would be the best case scenario.
He's going to have to do seven more days.
Right, they're still going to have to do seven more days this way.
I can't exactly daven for it.
That wouldn't be something.
I think his best thing to daven for is that he doesn't have any more. Right. That would be the best thing to daven for at that point.
Now, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, Ron.
For sure. Right. If he sees one at night and one in the morning, then you start davening that you don't see a third one really hard, right? Yeah, then you really... Hakol mistamin beziva. Any person, male, of course, we're talking now, is subject to this ziva. Meaning the Gemara is going to explain all these different... We're going to talk about now... And the Rambam is going to explain to us all these.
Everybody's in the category. Everybody's in.
There's
the
no exceptions part. To the rule.
Yeah, everybody's in the ballpark,
right? Afilu katan ben yomo, even a one-day-old baby, even a one-day-old.
If
it happens, how do we know? I don't know. If it happened, it would be tamei.
He would be in the ballpark.
There's no exceptions. Whatever we experience,
any katan.
Yeah, exactly. The hagerim and converts.
So if a katan had sucked. Would they be obligated to bring a korban?
We're going to get to it. Yes. We're going to get to it in 1 second. We're going to get to all this stuff in 1 second. Just hold your cane. Hold your horses.
We just started.
Ve'agerim converts. Ve'ha'avadim. These are non-Jewish, because Jewish slaves obviously would be. There's no difference within their chayv and all mitzvahs. We're talking about a non-Jewish slave that has accepted upon himself all the mitzvahs like a woman. This is actually a big chiddush.
This is
a big chiddush, because you think if you accept it...
So it's only gerim. It's not goyim.
No, I didn't say goyim. I said gerim, converts. Okay. Ve'avadim, non-Jewish slaves that accept upon themselves mitzvahs like a woman. Think about it. This is a big chiddush. Because a woman is not going to have any mitzvah of a male's halachas of zav. Right? So the male slave is a chiddush.
That's a physiological thing.
Right. So he's still going to get it. Meaning, if it would apply to a woman, there would be should be chayav in it too. So it's going to apply to him too. Vecheresh, someone who's mentally
unstable.
Not more than unstable. They're mentally incapable.
Incompetent.
No, that they don't have das, whatever that means, right? That they're not. They don't have a full fledged culpability because they don't have full fledged comprehension.
So is this the only?
Sorry, Cheresh. Right, I messed this all up. Cheresh is the deaf
is the deaf one.
Deaf and mute. deaf and mute. Is, yeah. Yeah. And therefore, we treat him also as though he has not enough comprehension to be chayav in mitzvos. And a shote as somebody who really does not have the brain capacity
the only time that you've seen that where he can bring a korban? Like, normally you wouldn't think they would bring korban.
They don't have to. Let me just finish the sentence. We're going to get to this. When we finish this halacha, ask me all the korban questions. The yearly, it seems to me, says the Ram, which means he doesn't have a great source for this. Right? When he starts off,
he's passing halacha here on his own.
That's right. Yeah. But he seems to be going with logic. Yeah. He doesn't have a source that explicitly says this. But he says, it seems to me, shemevina lein kapara, you do bring a korban for them. Meaning, they're not chayiv to bring any korban. They're not chayiv in any mitzvahs. Right? No matter what, they're not going to ever be chayiv in anything. But it's the family or the community, the beis din, is chayiv to bring a korban on their behalf. So that they can be able to eat kodshim in the future. Right? A person who's missing this kapara, hilchos mechusere kapara, someone who's in this category of a mechuser kippurim, he's not allowed to eat kodshim ever. Right? So this poor guy is never going to be able to participate in any kodshim ever again unless we get him his kapara. So it was.
Who's going to tell? They're not capable of even telling anybody they had this zav.
Oh, no. We have to know that we asked the question. How did we caught them?
We would know that.
Right, the person who's their caretaker looked in their diaper in the morning. I don't know. Whatever the case is, right? We found out that the guy was a zav.
The laundry person.
Right? We found out that he was a zav. V'chatas ne'achelas, and their chatas, their korban, is allowed to be eaten. Right? Not only we bring it, meaning you're allowed to bring it. So the Rambam, he finishes up. Sharehen kikaton sheino ben das. The same halacha like a minor. Yeah. Right? That you bring korbanos for them for the sake of them being able to eat kachem in the future. One more point is, if they're not chayiv,
the person who's bringing it, not the person to whom it relates.
Yeah, we didn't say anyone's chayiv. It just says we bring for them. There's no individual you can say is chayiv for this.
They're in need of kapara.
Right. We can't.
Intent, right? So I'm just wondering.
Who's the baal? Who's the owner of the korban?
Yeah. It can't be the person who it happened to because they can't form intent.
Sounds. Maybe they just bad intent. It's a good question. I'm not sure. It could be that they just mess up the korban with bad intent.
You can give something to somebody who's incompetent; they can't give it back to you.
I can give it to them, so I can be your shliach for this because it's a zechus for you. So I can do zach and lada, maybe something like that.
There's
good question.
For
I didn't think about this.
Good question. I hear.
It makes sense. So he says we do this for a minor, so we do it for all these people who are not chayiv in mitzvos anyways. Now there's a shaila. Okay, so what? That they're also not chayiv in any mitzvos. Let's just feed them kachim anyways. Who cares? They're not chayiv in mitzvos anyways. Why can't I just give them kachim and they'll eat it? It's not like they're going to be over any yisurim by eating kachim. They're not chayiv in mitzvos. So why do I have to go through this whole song and dance, right? If they're not chayiv anyways, why don't I just give them straight the korban, right? Yeah. So there's a different isser that says you can't be machil biyadayim. You can't feed with like an action. You can't give people tray food even if you know that they're not chayiv in mitzvah. So like a kid who's underage or a shota or whatever. There was a famous shaila. There was a famous shaila that was sent to the Chassam Sofer about this kid who was mentally not stable, and they said that if they sent him to this particular place in Vienna, right, which was not local, but they send him there. They say they have no kosher food there. There's nothing for him to do that's Jewish there. It's a goyish place, but they think that the doctors think that there's a good chance of him recovering if he goes to this place. So can we send him there, or do we have to be concerned that they're going to feed him? Is that called feeding him via dime? So he's a very complicated shuva, but he's going back and forth whether that's called actively feeding them treif or passively feeding them treif, which would be mutter, right? Because they're not chayiv in the mitzvos, but you're not allowed to actively do it. So if you're like paying for it and telling the caretaker there to keep feeding them, so he was discussing it's a very interesting shuva there, whether that's called actively. I'm not sure. I think he said that it's you shouldn't send him. I think he said not to,
I have to remember that.
It was a long time ago when I saw it, but I think he said not to, but I'm not positive.
But in this case, nobody did anything. He did it to himself.
No, we're saying if we feed him kachim, who's going to give him kachim? He's not fighting his own kachim, this guy in the future, right? Somebody would be serving him kachim, and then every time someone would be doing that, they'd be in violation.
Really eating is if he goes to the Beit HaMikdash to participate.
He's with his family on Pesach, and they're all eating Korban Pesach, and he takes
a Torah. So he could be eating a Torah offering and a Bar Mitzvah.
There's a whole bunch of options, right? But the point is whoever would be giving it to him, whoever's the owner of that Korban, would be in violation of feeding somebody who's not allowed to eat treif, right? And we don't want that to happen, so therefore we actively and proactively give him his kapara first so that nobody was going to be feeding him treif,
If they bring up the circumstance of an infant on the day of their birth, can infant the day of his birth eat before his kid has bris?
Can he eat before his
kid? Can he coach him?
He's not tame. The only problem is if you're tame.
You don't have to have bris.
No. Oh, I mean, yeah, for Arul, it's Korban Pesach. There's certain things that you can't, but it depends what kind of Korban. But you can't come up to the Harbaid.
You can, you know, you can't eat Korban Pesach anyways at that age. Remember, you've got to be able to eat a certain amount.
They're bringing it up, the end of birth.
Right.
No, it's so for Zav. No,
but
bring it up for Zav.
He's a Zav,
but he had an initiative.
Touching is an issue for him.
Right, right.
No, it's the Korban Pesach.
And Truma is
sure not Korban, you have to be, you can't. Truma's
not.
Call Arul Lo
Yosef. Truma's not a problem for Zav.
Yeah, you can't A or let, and B, you got to be able to eat properly.
Shear, shear, whatever, yeah.
Truma has no teeth for his Zav.
No, I mean,
truma is not an issue for a zav.
What do you mean? He can't have truma.
Well, Rebbe Zalman says only kachim. Truma doesn't.
While he's a zav, he cannot. Now, mechusar kipurim.
Yeah.
There's three stages. Let's just speak it out really quickly. There's three stages again. Nachamol. There's the stage after he's gone to the mikvah,
right,
where he's called on the seventh day, where he's called kippur. A tful. You know, not yet. Well, now he's called a tful yom. Tful yom, he can now eat meiser sheni.
Yes.
Right. That is the tahara that he's achieved, where you cannot eat that when you're fully tame. You can't even eat meiser sheni. Once nighttime has passed, so now he's called a mechusar kippurim. He's missing the korban. At that point, he can eat truma. Then he can eat truma. When he's mechusar kippurim, he can eat truma. But he still cannot eat kachin.
Right.
Only once he has
the korban,
that's mechusar kippurim. You were thinking mechusar kippurim, that he cannot, he can yes eat truma, but not
kachin. You can eat kachin, but you can't eat truma.
Exactly, mechusar kippurim.
Is that next day before you do the korban, right?
Excellent, Chazara. Very good. Moving on. Next point. Listen to this one. Usris Adam, someone that was castrated by a human, meaning. Right? What?
What's this one?
Sris Adam?
Yes, we get it.
You had this one?
Yeah.
He was castrated by a human, right? Meaning he was not born this way, that's the point. He was, in his lifetime, he became castrated. Usris Chama, Chema, I'm not sure how to read that word, Chema, Chama. He was castrated at a point where he had never experienced any passion in life, meaning he was from birth. Right. Either way, whether it happened in life or whether it was from birth, and you just never had any—I don't know—you didn't have testicles, you didn't have any.
No, you see, what's produce. Chama can also mean heat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Passion. That's what I'm saying.
So
passion.
What I'm
never
saying
experienced
is,
any.
Because you see, here's the issue: if you have undescended testicles, because of the heat of the body, you become sterile.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So that's why I'm saying.
Maybe that's the stuff. I understand
what you're
never
saying. It comes to me because that's why you have to do the. If you have undescended testicles, you got to get them down soon, because if you leave them to 5 or 6, they're already heated up,
and that's
and
too late.
It's too late.
That's a very interesting.
You can
shot
bring them down, so cosmetically you look good. You're hanging.
The truth is, I didn't know.
But they're not functional.
I know Sris Chama means that he has the situation from birth. I didn't know why it meant that way, so I just assumed that Chema meant his passion. He never experienced that passion, but I like your pshat. I like your pshat, Dr. Levin. It's beautiful. Anyways, either way, either one of these.
I don't know, but
either one of the. I know that was good.
It's
geschmack. Either way, either one of these two guys, mistamin beziva kechol hanashim, they are tamei from ziva. Even these guys. Now, even though they can't produce semen, right? They could still produce zivus. That's the finish over here. They're unrelated. Zivus and semen are unrelated.
Because semen comes from the testicle.
And these come from the gland that we're talking
prostate.
About. Yes. Okay, next point. Tumtum vaha androgynous. Yeah, you got to figure out what to do with our famous buddies over here. Right? So, tum, right. Now, these guys, just to remind ourselves, Tumtum is the one that we have no idea what he is because there's the skin.
Androgynous.
No, that's the next case.
No, that's androgynous.
This one is the guy, there's a layer of skin that's covered.
There's a layer of skin over the genitalia.
And we don't know which one he is, but he could very well be one or the other.
Right.
Don't bitch.
Or the androgynous, which is the hermaphrodite, which has both, but we still treat it as a suffix. We treat both as a suffix, one or
we don't know what's a male or a female. Because if you got both, what are you? And if you don't know what you have.
Well, I should just point out that according to many other Rishonim, not the Rambam, we treat the androgynous not as a suffix, because we say it's both, so it has all the din of both, but not as a suffix from Vadai. The Rambam treats them both the same as they're both suffix, right? The Rambam holds tumtum androgynous, we treat them both as suffix man, suffix woman. So what do we do with this poor yid, right? Nostin aleim chomrei ha'ish vechomrei ha'isha. So we give them the stringencies of a man and the stringencies of a woman, which means as follows. We said before that there's a different type of zav for a man and woman. For the woman, it's red, it's blood, and for the man, it's white and semen-looking, but not semen, right? So we're going to say that this person is going to be, if a man has blood, chas v'shalom, that's not going to be metame him from zavus. He has to go to the doctor. They go to Dr. Levitt and get a low down, right? But he's not going to become a zav, right? And if a woman has anything white emerging, she's not going to be, again, go to the doctor. Right? She's not going to become a zava, right? It's specific to their own types. So what happens to this tumtum androgynous? Mistamin bedam kanashim. If he sees blood, he becomes tame like a woman. Ubaloba, if he sees white, kanashim. Betumasan besafek. But every time it's only a suffek, because maybe he's like the other one only. Maybe he's really only a man and he saw blood and it should be nothing.
Right.
So the whole tumma is only a suffek.
So white,
and it means
get
nothing. So the whole thing's only a suffek, this whole tumma.
And this.
Lefikach, imhaya echad mehen zav. If one of them was a zav, bal shalosh re'ios. So they saw the same thing three times. If you see the different kinds, you're not going
to
combine, right?
There?
Yeah.
I don't have the word.
What do you
zav?
Have?
Levichach im haya echad mehem bal.
Okay, says yeah, mine has zav. What do they call these ones again? The Frankels have changed a whole bunch of things by using handwritten texts, but whatever. Okay. Sometimes I don't like when they do it and don't. I like when they tell you that they're changing something, because then. Yeah. Anyways, they don't tell you here. They just do it. So if you have this tumtum that saw three sightings of the same kind and therefore became tame and chayav a korban, o zava, or it was a lady, shira dam shloshiyam, she saw the red emission 3 days, zachar zeh, 3 days in a row, mevin korban veino nechal, so they'll still have to bring a korban, but they don't eat it, because again, safek, like we said before, they can't eat it. It might be like chulin bazara. You can't eat that. Right, so you have to just let it burn. Hayamona shivas yameinikim. Now we get back to the problem that we thought we were past. He's counting his 7 clean days now, right? He's counting his 7 clean days. And liloban, from having seen 3 white emissions. Right? So we know if he sees another white, it's going to start.
But what happens now? He sees
beginning.
Blood!
But vera odeb, but now he sees red this time. Or he was counting 7 clean days from seeing 3 blood. Reds. Vera loban, and this time he sees white. Hareza eno soser, don't worry about it. This does not mess up your whole count.
Yeah.
This is just like a one-off day of Tuma, which makes no difference because you're in the middle of counting days of Tuma anyways, and you do not have to start your whole count again.
At the end of the story to begin with.
You do not have to start your whole count again. Ad kan, until here, we finish the Zav story. We have a couple minutes left. I promised you guys I would do the Sefer HaChinuch to tell you about the Zav a little bit more.
Yesterday.
I brought it yesterday, but you guys weren't here. So I said I'll wait till Dr. Levin comes back.
Wow. That is so nice.
I said I'll wait.
So glad you came back today. Well, I think I'd wait another day.
No, I wouldn't have done it after this, because now we're finished with Zav. We're getting to Matsara tomorrow.
I'm really glad you came back.
So let me read you this. So there's a big steer I told you. There's a big contradiction with Zav. That it says in the Gemara that the whole cause for this whole thing is excessive eating and drinking, which leads a person to becoming a Zav. But we learned earlier if we can attribute the fact that he had a big meal last night, and maybe that's what, then we don't even say that this Zav spotting counts as a Zav spotting. So why would that be? If the whole reason for this is because of food, if you know it's because of food, then it should count for a Zav. It shouldn't be like, oh, no, that's just from eating too much. No, the whole thing is because of eating too much. So let me show you what the Sefer HaChinuch says about this issue.
Which
Sefer
is this?
Which Sefer? Sefer HaChinuch.
No,
it's Parshas Mitzvah, I think.
Okay.
Parshas Mitzvah.
I would have thought it would be from...
It's Mitzvah Kuf Ayin Ches, 178.
Thank you. It's not from looking at other women?
No, that's not what it says here at all. I want to just read in English, because it'll be faster and it'll be more clear. Here's the English. Among the underlying purposes of the mitzvah is the lesson we can draw from it regarding our everyday activities. Hashem has... blessed is He, has advised us in His Torah to completely distance ourselves from overindulgence and commanded us to be holy and principled with regard to eating, drinking, and all other human activities. Now, there's no doubt that the matter of the Zav's discharge occurs when a person consistently deviates from the principled path with regard to his eating and drinking habits. Consistently, right? And as a result, his body produces that putrid, repulsive, and defiled excess of fluid, which is then expelled from his body as a Zav's discharge. As the sages of blessed memory say in Maseches Kedushin, it is common for excessive eating and drinking to bring about a Zav's discharge. That's what I was quoting to you, right? Since overindulgence in physical pursuits is the cause for this malady, the Torah informs us that the person who has had such a discharge is regarded as Tameh. Okay, I'm going to skip a little bit to the point I want to get to now. Although the sages of blessed memory in Maseches Zavim have stated that we examine a Zav in 7 ways, right? Like we were saying, we examine in seven ways to determine that the discharge was not influenced by an external factor.
Right.
It's not some foreign reason. We ascertain that it was not brought about by excessive eating and by excessive drinking. Well, so how do we resolve this contradiction? It can't be by jumping, by carrying a heavy load, by illness, by seeing a particular woman and desiring her, or by general desirous thoughts of engaging in relations. If a person knows they had any of those and then they had the zav afterwards, it's
no,
not a zav.
It's not a zav.
No zav. No, it has to be totally out of nowhere. A mikre, out of nowhere. That is to say that if we find the zav's discharge occurred as a result of one of these factors, he is not tameh as a zav. Our assertion that the zav's discharge is as a result of excessive eating or drinking is not refuted by this. How could it not be refuted by this? It sounds a good reputation.
Because it isn't an unusual thing, but it's a constant.
Oh, Dr. Levin's hitting it. Let's see how the Sefer HaChinuch says it. Yeah. The matter is simply that we examine whether the discharge occurred to him as a one-time incident. If it was a one-off thing that you could attribute to a particular meal due to an occasional overindulgence, even if it was, due to an occasional overindulgence for which he should not be rendered tamei. It was an okay, you make a mistake. Why? Listen to how he says it. Or is it indicative of a chronic condition in his body, right? As a result of bad habits that has been fostered through repeated indulgences. And if that is the case, it is surely fitting to render him tamei. So just think about it. It's very interesting.
Wait, I don't understand what overindulgence
means. It means that the person is treating food and drink as an end in of themselves, not as a means to be able to give him fuel to live a life of connecting to Hashem.
Right, because there's a lot of people who have Shabbos meals that they're eating.
Shabbos, maybe
they're
overindulging. The rush, there's a famous rush that the rush says that the Jewish people are known for their serious care in the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos.
Yeah.
There's a famous rush that says that.
Yeah,
yeah, the rush says that, right?
Especially in the Kiddush.
So just one more point on this point. So it's basically saying that if it comes as a one offer, it's showing that it was not ingrained in the person's habits so much that it's a zav. Zav means that it's going to happen repeatedly now because it's been ingrained in your habits to overindulge, and therefore it built up the over excess of this fluid, of this liquid that comes out as a zav. However, if it's just a one off overindulgence, so there's a language of the Sefer HaChinuch here. Listen to what he says, just the last point. He says, this minor discharge itself, if you just have a one offer, right, is not an indication that the person consistently deviates from the principled path. Accordingly, it would not be fitting to render him tummy on account of a slight deviation. Get a load of this, Dr. Levin. For man is constituted in a manner such that it is utterly impossible for him to be spared from ever deviating from the straight line of principled living. What do you expect from me? Right? Never? Right? Well, here and there we blow it, right? However, if he deviates excessively and consistently, he is then held accountable and he is rightly considered tamei. Beautiful paper.
It's only an issue for
stop here, guys.